Judge not, lest you be judged. With these words, and Jesus set up a standard that has helped all of us. But at the same time, its misunderstanding has set up a standard, has set up a condition, actually, in which a lot of confusion has occurred. First of all, what did Jesus mean when he said, "Judge not, lest you be judged"? When Jesus was talking about that, he was talking about trying to assign a moral value to the insides of a person's relationship with God, so that you cannot say of any person that they are rejected by God or accepted by God, because that is God's business, and we cannot judge the person and the person's value before God. Every Christian has to approach every single human being from the perspective of the dignity of that human being before God, regardless of which the person is the most vile sinner or the most vile criminal that you can imagine. We respect people because not of what they've done, but we respect people because of who they are in the eyes of God. And we may never take that away. That is not ours to do. So correctly understood, judge not lest you be judged, applied, is correct. However, what has happened in a lot of times is that we take that and we apply it to everything, so that you hear even the most reprehensible actions, and people say, "Don't judge me." Now, what are they saying? That you can have no opinion about the morality or the goodness of the action or the non-action. And what I'd like to spend time on today is judging by the right light. Because the gospel today has the whole notion of you are the light of the world, and that people may see the good things that you do and give glory to God. I want to expand on that. So the very first thing is, in order to see a good thing, you have to be able to judge it from a bad thing. Okay. Now, because of the misinterpretation of that verse, what has happened is that we have gone into an era of culture called moral relativism. Now, what is moral relativism? Relativism basically says that in and of itself, there is no right or wrong. That nothing is to be judged right or wrong. That everything is to be judged as morally neutral, or for you it's good, but not for me. And I have a different set of standards. What basic moral relativism does, it says basically, there is no natural order. And so each of us gets to decide what's right for me may not be right for you. And that's the version of judge not, the misinterpretation of don't judge me. And so it's basically saying don't call what I'm doing right or wrong. Now, remember, when you see, let me give you an example. This is a silly example, but it's always meant sense to me. And here it is. If you drive by and you're in a car and you're next to a golf course, And you see me on the golf course, which you would never do because I don't play golf. That's against my religion. But imagine you see me on the golf course, okay? And as you're stopped at a light, you see that I do a hole in one, okay? And you go, whoa! Then you drive back to church and you start saying, Father Mario is an excellent golfer. Now, that is a wrong judgment. Wrong judgment. Why? Because you had no right to assume my overall condition as a golfer just because you saw one time that I got lucky. Okay. So what you have to say is, to be accurate, you can't say, well, Father Mario, I saw him hit something and I think it went in the hole. I don't know if that's good or bad. You can't do that because that's stupid. Okay? What you can say is, I was stopped at a light and I saw Father Mario hit a ball and it went in a hole in one. That was a good shot. I don't know if he's a good golfer. Notice what's happening there. You're judging by the correct light. You are not making a judgment about me as a person, about my quality as a golfer. You are basing your judgment on the thing itself, and you are saying there is a standard for golf. And to say that was a good shot is applying the standard for golf to that shot. Now imagine there wasn't any standard. Everybody would say, every shot is equal. Every shot is equal. You would say, I saw Father Mario hit a ball. It went somewhere. It was wonderful. Makes no sense. So what the point is here is that God has created a natural order of things. And when a Christian approaches it, we have to discover the natural order that God intended and make accurate judgments based on the natural order. Now, please understand, there are people who say, no, you should never judge. Folks, you can't live that way. Every time you open the refrigerator, you make a judgment. Right? Is this good for me? Is this too old to eat? Every time, if you're driving and you know that there's a crime-ridden neighborhood, and you say, I don't think I want to drive through there, that's a judgment. Now, can somebody say to you, are you saying that everyone in that neighborhood is horrible and a criminal? You are racist by saying that. Well, I guess you could take it to that point. But at the same time, is there something called a prudential judgment? That given the probabilities of the kind of people you might encounter in a drug infested neighborhood, it probably is a prudential judgment not to go through that, even though you understand that there's probably also good people in that neighborhood. So the whole point here is that you cannot live without making what are called prudential judgments. They are not absolute judgments, because that's what Jesus is warning us against, about not making absolute judgments about the character of any one person before God. But you are, and you must, make prudential judgments of right and wrong in order to live any kind of a normal human life. But what is a prudential judgment? Prudential judgment means that you are looking something in the light of something else. Now that's where I find this gospel tremendously important and interesting. Think about every time that you have said, well, in the light of this, I think that, and then you came to a different conclusion. What has happened? If you analyze raw human experience, when we experience stuff, we take it, but then unconsciously, we begin to process it. And we begin to ask the question, what does it mean? What does it mean? For example, let's take an extreme situation. You see a man shooting another man. Now, that's all you saw. You have the raw experience of one man shooting another. What do you do with that raw experience? Because you won't leave it there. You won't walk around for the rest of your life saying, I saw a man shoot another man. I don't know if it was good. I don't know if it was bad. I don't know. I don't know anything. You won't leave it there. Because the human being is called to make judgments. The only issue that is missing is, in light of what? In light of what? Now notice the way Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world, so that people may see the good things that you do and give glory to God. What Jesus is saying to us today is that the world lives in darkness. And that because we live in darkness, we don't know how to make judgments about what is good and what is bad. Like, for example, in the ancient world, there were, today we're having the Super Bowl, okay? Something I am highly uninterested in. But we're having the Super Bowl. Well, you know what the ancient Super Bowl was in Rome? The gladiatorial games. They would have gladiator games for several weeks at a time. And they would have entertainment in the Colosseum. And the Colosseum would fill up the way that the NRG Stadium will fill up. And people would come around for the great gladiatorial games. And the same... I won't say the word. I was going to say the word stupid, but... Okay. The same stupid hysteria that occurs during our Super Bowl occurred during the main gladiatorial games under the emperors. Even to the point, I find this amazing, that sweat from the gladiators was collected especially by women who found it an erotic perfume. Huh? I guess. But the whole point is this. The arena filled up. And if you've ever been to Rome, and if you've gone in to see this stadium, this Colosseum, it is amazing. And in its day, filled with people. What were they doing? They were watching human beings fight each other to the death. And so what would happen is people would be cheering, just like in a football game, and people would be cheering, and especially when one of the gladiators killed another, there would be an uproar like there was a touchdown. Now, was anyone there particularly sad? No. It would be like us thinking, oh, is anyone sad when anybody else got tackled? No. That was just the way. What were they doing? They were judging things. They were saying, this is okay, but in what light? In what light? What was the standard that they were using to judge what they were doing was a good thing? And it was the standard of a darkened world, a world that did not know the difference of anything good from evil. And you can go on of all the stages of throughout the world. And if you look at what things have been done to humankind and in humankind, ask yourself, in what light were they done? And what, because what you're asking is, what justified them, or in what light were they done? And if you go through the entire history of humanity, even today when I hear people periodically on the radio, because I'm on the radio on Sunday nights with a rabbi and a Baptist minister, but on the radio we'll get people saying, I hate religion. All the bad things in the world that have occurred because of religion. And I just want to crawl into that microphone and let them have it. But I'm a peaceful man. But because, think about it, that is such a stupid, asinine statement. Because look at just the 20th century, the bloodiest century in the entire history of humanity. And what were those in that century? What were the causes of the wars? Not religion, nationalism, which puts the state before everything and sidelines the church to kind of, and the Christian teaching to be nice little religion. You go do with your ceremonies what you do on Sunday. Nice religion. Or then you have fascism. Then you have Nazism. Then you have communism. The hundreds of millions of people that were executed, in what light were they executed? It was certainly not the light of the gospel. It was in the light of, like, for example, Hitler, Nazism. Hitler was done in the name of, Nazism was trying to improve the human race in the face of scientific discoveries. It was, and that's the light that they used. You see, Darwin had found out that evolution happens. And so they applied that, and they said, well, evolution happens to everything, including human beings. Human beings evolved. Okay, so there is no God, human beings evolved. So what if we, because we're so intelligent, what if we wanted to help nature along, help evolution along? How could we make the human race better? Well, what do we do with animals? If you're to have a herd of animals and a third or a half of your herd is sickly, what do you do with that herd? Do you allow the sickly ones to reproduce? No. You have them killed and butchered or for eating, or you make sure that they cannot reproduce. And you let only the good ones reproduce. Why? Because you want what's good for the future of the herd, and you don't want the defective ones to reproduce. Apply that to human beings. And what do you get? I want the good of humanity. And that's why any imperfect human beings are not to be allowed to reproduce. Or they should be killed. The clincher is, in what light are you doing that? And notice, it was being done in light of the best science of the time, that they were just helping evolution. And they selected the people that they thought were the least, and instead of valuing them as human beings, which would have been the light of the gospel, they valued them in the light of progress in history. And therefore, they came to the conclusion. What I'm trying to get you to see is that the light that you use will determine the quality of your actions. And that's why Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. And a light provides the ability of people to see the good things that you do. Your life has to be a reflection of what God created in the natural order and revealed in Christ. Because in the other gospel, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And of course, both are true. Jesus is the source of the light. For me, it's so important to understand that when you're looking at Jesus, you are looking at the only normal human being. Jesus is the only normal human being. The rest of us are totally screwed up. That's why everybody fits here so well. Because you're all screwed up. We're all screwed up. Who is the only normal human being? Jesus himself. He is God living humanity the way humanity was supposed to be lived out before we entered into darkness. And when you enter into darkness, you don't know what you're doing. And so you end up doing things that are evil and thinking that they're good. Thinking that they're totally good. In some of the ancient Americas, when the colonials arrived, some of the natives were very proud and would show them the way that they were sacrificing human beings and the hearts that were being pulled out of people and thrown down the pyramids. And they showed them with great pride as something that was a good thing to do, to offer the hearts of the beating hearts of human beings to God. In their light, which it turned out to be darkness, that was good. Now, what is moral relativism? Moral relativism would say, well, that's good for them. And this is not, and we have a different definition of good. But what happens is, in moral relativism, there is no light. Everybody goes about doing whatever they think, and everybody does, they think, my good is not equal to your good. What Jesus is saying is, God created a natural order, and he created human beings to live in that natural order. And I have come to show you what a human being is supposed to be like before you all entered into darkness. Jesus is the primordial human being, showing us what it means to be human. To the degree you are like Jesus, to that degree you are human. To the degree that you are not, you are a fictionalized or shall we say, barely a facsimile of a human being. Jesus is the only one. So what do? We as Christians. We as Christians copy Jesus. We copy Jesus because we realize that we are in darkness and that we need the light that he gives to us to interpret, to be able to make a judgment as to what is right and what is wrong, so that we can make right judgments instead of dark and stupid judgments. And so in doing that, we can then imitate him and then do what is good, and people will begin to recognize it and give glory to God. Okay? That's the whole point of what he is saying. So he is saying, look, being a Christian is about being seen by others. Not doing things so that you'll be, I'm so good. But people should see in your ordinary life the goodness that has come about by you choosing to be a disciple of Jesus. And without going out of your way in a quiet life, you should give an example so that people will look and there will be an attraction there. An attraction to the goodness that they see in your life. And that's the responsibility of every Christian. And so, you know, today I just want to make sure that we understand that it's a good thing to judge, not to judge the character of a human being, but to judge individual actions. And the reason why it's important is because we have to judge rightly in the right light. And in the light of the gospel, the more you learn the light of the gospel, the more you understand how not to live in darkness and how to live making right judgments that people will see and they will be attracted to you and attracted to believing in the God of Jesus Christ. We are the light of the world. We have to let our goodness shine even when people make fun of us, even when people call us retrogrades or members of being whatever, you know, you're racist or you're whatever you are. Because these days, especially, the moment you try to do simply good things, you open yourself to all kinds of ridicule. It doesn't matter. Always remember, and I'll end with this little sentence, one of my favorite sentences. You have to live your life for an audience of one. And that one has a capital O. The rest of the audience don't matter. Live your life for an audience of one.